This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. Here's WSMI's Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins. Good morning, gentlemen. Good
morning.
Morning, T-Tote. How goes it today?
The sun is out.
Yes, it is.
Here we go. It's a good day then.
Baseball games are being
played
throughout the nation.
Mr. Rogers would say it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Baseball has arrived.
Baseball has arrived, and the temperatures are slowly starting to warm up. Of course, we're going to get some rain with it, but you know, that's all part of the deal in springtime.
College is like a week or two into their season, I think. They've been playing longer than the major leaguers.
They have.
Yeah.
There's always something, though, that is very warming and soothing about seeing the ball players down in Florida or out in Arizona with the sunshine and the nice breezes. When
it's a mindset thing. When you see that, you're going, okay, we can handle this. It's really gone. Winter's really gone. We may get a little blast now and then, but winter's gone.
That's right. The early stages of the baseball season, also the early stages of March Madness.
Yes.
We've got the Elite Eight set for the Class 1A and 2A boys. Of course, the 1A and 2A girls had their champions crowned last week. Congratulations to the Calhoun Warriors on their state championship.
Wasn't that a great championship
goodness,
game?
What a ball game. What everything we thought it would be.
Yeah.
And more.
Yeah. Yeah.
The third place in championship games in Class 1A, both 60-56 finals in overtime.
Yeah, how about that? Pretty neat.
It was pure joy for those Calhoun girls, too, when they were on the medal podium. Just awesome.
Yeah. And the thing of it is, it sure sounded like there was a lot more, a pretty good crowd there. The crowds have been down, but I think certainly with Central A&M being the defending champions and Calhoun being the runner-up last year and having success in softball, of course, had a great following. So they had a good crowds at ISU. Good crowds for the 3A and 4A this weekend.
Congratulations to that senior class at Central A&M. They had, three straight state tournament appearances?
Straight state tournament appearances. And for Calhoun, last year they played in the state tournament in volleyball, played in the state championship in basketball, and then won the state softball tournament. This year, back in the state basketball final, win it. And then, of course, good luck beating them in softball this year. They made a comment during that. I don't remember if it was the championship game or not, but Grace Ballman, who's already committed to Kentucky for pitching, struck out all 21 batters in the super sectional last year. I think it was a super sectional. All 21! Wow. Struck them all out.
Wow.
That's impressive. That's beyond impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're the state basketball champions, and you can make the case that of all their players, basketball's not even their best sport.
No.
For any of them.
No.
Volleyball and softball. Just a phenomenal group of athletes.
Just great athletes. Lots of Ballmans.
Lots of Ballmans. And, that was, again, they almost gave that title game away. They were up 4 with a minute to go. And you think, hey, you should win this game.
Well,
and then the heart of a champion, Central A&M, just somehow found the way to get that game tied.
I think good coaching on both sides helps.
Absolutely.
Great, great programs and talented athletes. So,
and when you get in tight games like that, coaching absolutely makes a difference.
Well, and here's the thing. We were talking weeks ago, is the subsectional thing going to work? Well, it certainly worked for the Final Four for Class 1A and 2A last week.
When you look at what we've got in terms
the best teams are at the state tournament, and I think you can make a judgment that the best teams are at 3A and 4A this weekend.
No, that's exactly right. And you look at some of the super sectional matchups, Class 2A, Breeze Central and T-Town.
Yeah. For boys?
For boys.
Yeah.
Pleasant Plains and St. Joe.
Yeah.
You got Aurora Christian and Taylor Ridge, Rock Ridge. A school that you're
always
hearing now. Always football and basketball. Then you got the Chicago's squaring off Orr and Hales Franciscan. Just don't mention the Staunton Bulldogs to old Hales Franciscan.
Yeah. Would you like a pet bulldog?
And the Hales Franciscan,
they'll take a bite out of your leg.
They had to vacate their championship, right? Because their coach openly said, we had a good recruiting year.
Yeah, we were there and heard that. Yes, we were in the media room. I remember hearing it.
Did he say that?
He said that.
Did you say that?
He did. He did. And if you go to the March Madness experience, there's a blank spot.
Blank spot. That's exactly right.
Going, what? Really? Oh.
Love that March Madness experience.
Oh, isn't that great?
That was a game changer for the state tournament.
That's why it's going to stay in Peoria.
Unless
Champaign can come up with something similar, or some other site can come up with something similar to it. They're doing stuff all the time at March Madness experience.
Yeah, you can't have the state tournament without that experience now.
Yeah.
It will not work.
Yeah, takes it to a whole new level. So.
In Class 1A, the Super Sectionals, we have Woodlawn and Patoka. That'll be at Carbondale. Leroy and Newark, that'll be at SI or ISU in Normal. Chicago Leo and Brimfield at Northern. And then
Brimfield's
Liberty,
the defending state champs, I believe.
I think you're right. And then yeah. Waterloo Jabot, they are taking on Liberty at the Jacksonville Bowl, of course. Waterloo Jabot.
Little Liberty. Good every year. Out of the western section of the state.
Funny
good every
that,
year.
Funny how that works.
Yeah.
There's some of the
schools
like
Liberty and Warsaw
that.
And, you know, those schools over there. Yeah.
Warsaw, back in the day, they won state in the two classes.
Yeah.
Of course, Waterloo, they beat, knocked off or upset, I guess, Metro East
yeah.
in the regional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they hadn't won enough in the previous, the higher.
Yeah, they're 1A this year. So.
Well, that affected, what was it, Quincy Notre Dame, I think, who Plains beat last night in the Beardstown sectional yeah. final. Their multiplier got erased from yeah. their lack of success.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame. Didn't win enough.
Didn't win enough.
Yeah.
So yet the public school doesn't get that.
Yet the public schools don't get that. Yeah. Hmm. How about that?
That's how it goes, I guess.
This is true.
But congratulations to Pleasant Plains and, of course, Cliff Cameron his last yeah. year and Plains trying to keep the ride going here. Yeah. I think trying to get to state for the first time since 2004.
Yep. Yeah. When they went on a run with 2000, 2001, 02, and 04.
And they also went in baseball, too.
Yeah.
Those were tremendous athletes in those years. So
well, they just won the state baseball tournament a few years ago as well.
Yeah, they did. Two years ago, I think.
Two, maybe three was around yeah. there. I remember they played Gillespie in
right.
the sectional.
Gillespie, what, lost by two? It was a good close game?
It was a good close game. I remember we went to Warrensburg-Latham to play initially, and then there was all sorts of bad weather.
So it got moved back.
I think Lincolnland is where
yeah.
we ended up
yeah.
playing the game.
Probably.
They ought to just keep it at Lincolnland.
they should. You know,
I think they have at this point now. Made sure it's a super second is always at Lincolnland.
That's right. So. Hey, we need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We will come back with more following these messages.
Well, we have St. Louis Cardinals baseball coming up at 11:45 this morning on WSMI AM 1540 and the new 106.9 FM, where you can catch all 162 Cardinals Ooh. Baseball games. Here in 2016.
Well, they lost yesterday, though. They're all bums.
Yeah,
trade bums. Them all. Yes. Trade them all. They Wasn't lost it? The spring training yeah. game.
Dave was saying that Holiday is going to be at first base today.
Debut at first base today.
Oh. Hey.
Hopefully it's the first of many this spring.
Well, if you're going to, I mean, this is the time
yeah.
to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Games
mm-hmm.
don't matter. So,
I still find it to be a terrifying proposition. But the fact that Holiday undertook it himself in the offseason was yeah. working there. And if anybody can do you know, turn him into serviceable,
guy's
it'll be
athlete.
Jose Oquendo.
Guy's an athlete.
Yeah, it's true.
He's also a left fielder.
Well, yeah. But
he could. I think he could have been a quarterback, I think, at Oklahoma State, but yep. he chose the baseball route. And there's no doubt that he's an athlete, but
it's where the money is.
Yeah, there's just so much that goes. The little nuances of yeah. first base. I'm still terrified for the poor middle infielders. They're going to have to field one of his throws with a runner bearing down.
Oh, that's what makes baseball exciting.
I'm optimistic. I think he'll do okay. I guess the part that worries me the most is picking balls in the dirt. That's the part that worries me. I think he can field a ground ball. I think he can obviously catch a throw to first base. The part that worries me the most is picking a throw in the dirt.
I'm more worried about him fielding his position. Like charging a ball on a bunt play, the communication with the pitcher and the catcher and letting it go. Is he pick it up? Is he going to throw to third? Is he going to... That, to me, is just a train wreck, potentially.
It's an experience thing there.
But that's what spring training's for.
Plus, also, you have to remember if there's a bang-bang play at first base where the runner and the ball and the first baseman arrive at the same time, the base runner is going to get killed because you're not going to move Holiday.
That's so
I mean,
true.
You run into Matt Holiday.
You've
hit something.
They've taken away the takeout side kind of at second base with the new rules, but maybe he'll find a way to inflict some punishment that way.
Bam!
Still take him out as long as you can hold on to the bag.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Yeah. You got to be able to touch the bag and hold on.
If he can wind up playing first base and they can stick him there in the regular season, I mean, that is a huge asset and advantage.
Well, he might be a Cardinal beyond his contract if he does that. Because he only signed through, I think, this is the last year on his contract with an option for next year, which obviously they'll pick up the option. So I think if he can play first base, they would probably extend him.
And let's be honest. First base is kind of the one position where they've got an opening.
Yeah.
You know, they've got the outfielders to cover it if Holiday can play first base.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, though. We're a long way away from seeing Matt Holiday at first base in a game that actually matters.
Well, and we haven't seen the rash of injuries yet either. So.
This is true.
Holiday's got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and Jaime pitched yesterday, so, and he didn't do well, so I'm waiting to hear what was wrong with him, like physically. Because that's usually what happens is anytime Jaime does poorly, I wasn't feeling too well. My arm wasn't doing so hot. I think I got a stiff shoulder.
Chicken wings not feeling too good. Yeah. Got to get it limbered up.
Guy makes more excuses than any other ball player I've ever heard.
Yeah. Good at excuses. Yeah. I just wish he would tell them before the game.
Well,
before the game, Jaime. Before the game.
That's what makes you wonder if he really had issues. Because, I mean, if he has a bad game, he'll tell you the excuse. And, well, I wasn't.
There's always issues.
Yeah. It just always seems to be the playoffs.
Yeah.
Just throw the ball to first base.
He had one.
Goodness gracious.
He's had one good playoff start. And
goodness gracious. I'm so excited for this baseball season, though.
Yeah. Me too.
All I've ever wanted as a Cardinals fan is for the Cubs and Cardinals to be good same time.
Yeah.
And it looks like we're set up for that, not just this year, but for several years here in a row. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We had it in spurts in 03 and 04.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the end of 03, they were kind of battling. But
now you can see that, you know, the Cubs are built for a while. They're built to compete for a long time. Yeah. So that's great.
And the contrast, you know, they're built with the young sluggers, and the Cardinals are kind of built with the young pitching.
Yeah. So
we'll see what happens over time.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Who they play today?
The Cardinals?
Miami. You know, if you say Miami, half the time you're right.
Seven times. Yeah. This will be the second time already.
I would have guessed they would play more than seven times.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of teams in Florida anymore. They don't.
There's 15 teams in Florida.
Is there?
Yeah, there's 15 in Florida, 15 well, I know in that, Arizona.
I know they don't play 14 teams. I know they don't play all of them.
Well, they don't play Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
They don't play the Pirates.
So.
They play the Yankees once, I think.
They generally play the Red Sox a few times. They pull the Astros a number of times. The Mets. They play the Mets a lot, I feel like. Yeah. The Mets and the Marlins are probably their two most common opponents.
Which are teams that they've struggled with in recent history.
See, it goes back to what we were talking about last week. The fact they don't play any division opponents. Like the Cubs the other day played the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to play the Brewers a lot.
Yep.
I don't know. There's got to be something to it. Because you're right. The Marlins and the Mets seem to give the Cardinals more fits in the regular season than a lot of – besides the Giants. Yeah. But they give everybody fits.
Giants don't necessarily give the Cardinals fits in the regular season. It's the playoffs when it comes around. Because the Cardinals typically do pretty well against the Giants. I mean, they're about even with them in the regular season. Once the postseason comes around, it's completely different.
Giants going to win the World Series this year.
It's their year.
It's even, yeah.
Which, if that happened, what a weird phenomenon. 10, 12, and 14.
What are the odds in Vegas that would happen? I bet they're thinking about it going, hey, you know.
Yeah, that
history could repeat itself.
Right. That World Series drought is way in the rearview mirror. Well, they hadn't won one since 57?
Yeah, they were still in New York.
Yeah. Never won one in San Francisco. It was a long time ago.
That's what makes the Cubs 100 and whatever it is years now even more just staggering. I mean, everyone gets lucky. I mean, the Marlins have won it twice. Giants win it three times in 5 years.
Diamondbacks won it like 3 years into their existence.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
The Rays have been there since they debuted in 98.
Yeah. But the fact that the Cubs are the odds-on favorite from everybody, that's not where you want to be at the start of the baseball season. You never want to be the team that everybody's picking. You know, it was the Nationals last year. Can't miss. You know, a few years ago, the Mariners were the trendy team.
Who's on the cover of Sports Illustrated? That's the question, because the Nationals were on the cover last year.
This is true.
Hmm.
Cardinals were – their rotation was a couple of years ago with Shelby and Wainwright. And that really hot young rotation that they had, they were on the cover. And it was a recreation of, I think, 64.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then everybody ended up getting hurt that year.
Good old SI jinx.
Yeah.
So we'll have the Cardinals today, 11:45 a.m., 1540, and 106.9. The All-State girls basketball teams have been announced, and we've got some good local
flavor. This is the IBCA. This is the Basketball Coaches Association. And the girls that are on this were also on the AP, which we mentioned yesterday. So, yeah.
Maddie Greeling, first-teamer out of Southwestern. Grace Ballman, also a first-teamer from Calhoun. These are 1A and 2A together.
Yeah.
So that's your first team. Second team, we had Sammy Matouche from Hillsboro, and probably her first of four All-State selections, more likely than not. When you make it as a freshman, that's an impressive feat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not easy to do.
No.
Barring injury, she'll be there all four years.
That's right. Third team had Carly Cameron from Hillsboro. And then the honorable mention, Jill Niehaus and Brianna Henke of Mount Olive. And Abby Brockmeyer, third team All-State in Class 3A and 4A. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
And I guess that's all just based because they played in the 3A regional.
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. And this is done by the Basketball Coaches Association. So
That's impressive for her to be 3A or to third team 3A considering she played two 3A games.
And I believe she was just a couple votes away from being on the first team. Mm. I think. I mean, she was like, it was right there.
Yeah.
Close.
That shows how much respect she's gotten around the state.
I don't know that she was really under the radar, but she is full-fledged on the radar now. Yeah. Like, everybody
she may have been
now.
Under the radar in 3A, 4A. Like, those kind of coaches.
Yeah, she's on, I mean, she's
no,
on
she the, wasn't. No, they she all wasn't. Knew about her.
Okay.
Those teams in Springfield knew about her.
Well, you know they saw her play, like, summertime on the summer circuit and all that. But
oh, yeah.
When you see her for the first time in her high school jersey, I'm sure it's a little, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Quite good. Quite good. How many points will she wind up in her career?
Could be the third girl in the county with 2,000.
I mean, she's going to get 2,000.
Yeah. We think so.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, sure looks that way. Nothing. You never know for sure.
Never know. Never know.
Injuries are always a factor, and you hope that doesn't happen. Yeah. So, but she's on her way.
Coming off of a 600-plus point season this year.
I've got the count.
Great
desk,
time of year for basketball, I tell you.
It really is.
And the state tournaments are, very good teams here for 3A and 4A girls this weekend. And two overtime games yesterday.
Yeah. Double. One of them was double overtime, wasn't it?
Well, Highland lost in double overtime.
Yeah. Edwardsville got knocked off in the super late.
So.
I've got those
they're in there
scores
someplace.
Here somewhere. Lots of papers. Here we are. North Lawndale. We're familiar with North Lawndale, aren't we, team?
Yes.
The Phoenix.
Yes.
So they were not happy whenever they were in Class 2A. They did not like it.
No.
They didn't like it one bit.
No.
So they're up in 3A now.
Yeah.
So they're probably much
happier. They'll probably drop back, now that they've not been successful. So.
Playing for the
wait
state
a minute.
Championship,
they're
not
playing
success?
For the state championship.
Yes.
Well, we can't knock them back down to 2A then.
We can't, not this year.
Is it playing for the state championship or is it winning state championships that knocks them
down? I think some of it takes into account regionals and sectionals and stuff.
I think it's more based on regional success or lack of success. Like if you go so many years without winning,
we ought to
regional.
Really call Matt Trohan next week and say, okay, what's the deal of this thing? Can you explain this to us?
It needs explanation.
The guy from the IHSA.
So North Lawndale beat Highland in double overtime, 59-57. Then Morton beat Chicago Morgan Park, 54-39. But talked about all the great games that the 1A and 2A girls had last week, and then a double overtime in the first semifinal for 3A and 4A. That's some high-level championship basketball.
Morton was very, very good yesterday. I saw about the second half of that game. They were awesome.
So it'll be Highland.
The Potters. The Potters.
The Potters.
The Potters from Morton.
That's a solid nickname.
Yeah.
Highland and Morgan Park at noon today for third place in 3A, and then North Lawndale and Morton, 145. It'll probably be a little later than that when they get the tip underway at ISU. In Class 4A, Whitney Young beat Palatine Fremd. Check that. Fremd beat Whitney Young in overtime, 47-40.
And Whitney Young got out to a great start. I mean, they had like a 14-15-0 lead and looked like they were just going to blow the roof off a thing. And all of a sudden, Fremd just kind of battled their way back, called a timeout, and settled down. And
you seem to see that a lot, especially like college basketball, where a team will get out to a big lead early.
It's almost like you're setting yourself up for failure.
Everybody has
let
a run.
Down. Yeah.
Everybody has their run.
It's their run. Yep. But Fremd did a nice job last night.
Bennett Academy then beat River Forest Trinity 68-51. So your 4A championship game, Fremd and Bennett Academy at 8:15 this evening.
Yeah.
And that'll be it for the girls' basketball
girls
season.
Girls' basketball season will be kaput. Done.
Great year of girls' high school
basketball. Another terrific year. So.
And, of course, the great Tori McCoy from Champaign-St. Thomas More will be gone. Won't be a factor in with any of our teams running into her.
Thank goodness they've seen her enough.
What a career she's got ahead of her, though.
We're going to Ohio State, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah.
She finished second at her school in points because of the injury she had last year and this year. She missed some time this year at the beginning of the year, too.
Health. It's always the great unknown.
And the game is so physical anymore. There just seems to be a lot more.
And I still swear that high school girls' basketball is allowed to be more physical than high school boys' basketball. Like, it just seems to me like some of the girls' games we watch, I mean, they will – are you going to blow the whistle for the jump ball anytime soon? Where boys is almost instant.
And I have a kind of a theory on that. It used to be so – for so many years that once two girls got their hand on the basketball, immediately the whistle was blown for a jump ball. They didn't even want to try to let them battle it out. Now I think it's swung – the pendulum has swung completely the other way, and they're just going to say, hey, until somebody rips it out, what the heck? Let's let them go. Let's let them play. We've had these complaints all the years that we blow the whistle too quick, we're going to let them play.
Are they more worried about a fight breaking out in a boys' game than they are a girls' game? Because they don't think the girls will necessarily fight each other?
Well, I don't know. There was a fist fight between, was it Gillespie and Staunton a few years ago at the holiday tournament in the girls' game.
Oh, boy.
It can happen, boys or girls. I don't know what the reasoning is.
Yeah, right? I don't
either. And maybe it's just in my own mind. Maybe it's not even actually true. But there's a lot of times where the jump ball whistle for the boys is a heck of a lot quicker
than any more than it is for the girls. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you've got six bodies on the floor for the girls' basketball, and they're still and maybe nobody's got a hand on it. I mean, maybe it's just bouncing around in there. But you know, who knows? Blow the whistles, call the play dead, so nobody gets killed. Right?
No blood, no foul.
There you go.
Play on.
That's right.
I wouldn't want to do it. I'll tell you that much.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So,
thankless job. President of the United States and official. About the two most thankless jobs on the face of the planet.
Well, you could make a members of Congress.
True.
Basically, any politician.
Half the people are going to like you. Half of them are going to hate you. Yeah. It's just that's how it is.
Pretty much any politician.
Yeah,
you're not going to get thanked.
Not real popular.
No.
Not real popular these days. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
Again, Cardinals baseball today and tomorrow. 11:45 on WSMI AM 1540 and the new 106.9 FM. And back to Tim and Dave.
Thank you, T. And Mike Matheny mantra since he's became the Cardinals manager is, he wants the base runners to be aggressive.
Yep.
Got to be aggressive. Got to force the issue. Take that extra bag.
Yeah, they're the worst base running team in baseball.
And have been since he became the manager.
Not statistically the worst, but they eighth last year, fourth the year before that. Fourth worst. So, yeah, they are a terrible team, but they haven't been the worst.
Way too many outs on the bases. And for a team that doesn't really hit for any power at all, when you need three singles to score a run, you can't lose guys on the bases.
Yeah.
And it's not so much the caught stealing, because they don't really try to steal, but it's the extra bases they try to take. I love Matt Carpenter. He's not a good base runner,
arguably the worst in the league.
I mean, he's not good.
No.
He is not good. And a lot of the outs he makes are bad. There's good aggressive and bad aggressive. And they spend a lot of time being aggressive in the wrong ways, I think, from what I see. They make a ton of outs on the bases. Mm-hmm. A lot of outs at third base.
Yeah. Matheny wants them to continue to be aggressive, and it's just going to get worse. And like you mentioned during the break, Piscotty got picked off, or would have got picked off yesterday. And Piscotty's a smart guy. He's going to end up instilling into these good players and good, smart base runners to be more aggressive, and they're going to get thrown out more on the base paths, and it's going to kill them.
Yeah, I don't think anyone will argue that you want to be aggressive on the bases. You need to be aggressive, but you got to be smart.
Right. Well, and so many Cardinal fans remember the days of Whitey Ball, which, you know, was giddy up and go, and that's not the case anymore. Baseball is not designed like that anymore.
No.
I mean, you've got balk rules that are more relaxed, and you know, catchers that are doing a better job, pitchers are doing a better job holding runners on. It's not as easy as it used to be to steal a base.
It's a lost art.
But it's going from first to third and not being caught in a rundown, not being picked off, the dumb stuff.
Well,
taking that wide turn around first base.
That's probably what the Cardinals are going to miss the most about Jason Heyward, as we've heard about his glove, how they're going to miss his glove the most. The base running is what they're going to miss the most, I think, because not only was he 23 of 26 for stolen bases, he statistically over like the last 3 years has been like one of the top five base runners in the league. I mean, he goes to first to third. He's a smart guy. He doesn't get thrown out on the base paths no matter what.
He just didn't fit in with the Cardinals.
No.
You're too good of a base runner, son.
Well, that was it. Didn't fit in too well. So, yeah, that's probably what they're going to miss the most is his base running. Because he saved him a lot last year on the base pads.
And when you're a good team, as the Cardinals are and plan to be, it becomes the little things. And when you make outs on the bases routinely, you just make it so much harder on yourself to win. Think about how many close games they played last year and all the wear and tear on the pitching staff. Mm. If you're a little better at base running, maybe you're scratching out, you know, you're scratching out a few more runs, and maybe some of those one-run games are three-run games.
And your pitcher, starting pitcher, can stay in another inning or two longer, and you don't have to chew up the bullpen so quick. And yeah. Just it all adds up.
Yeah.
You know, it's a long season, but by the time you get to August and the hot month of August and, you know, the wear and tear of the season, it gets to you.
Yeah. I mean, if they had Vince Coleman and Willie McGee and Ozzie Smith, yes, aggressive base running is fantastic. Fantastic. But when you've got Matt Holliday, Matt Adams, and Jahani Peralta. Hey,
and Matt Carpenter.
Well, let's tone it down
and,
a little
and
bit.
And you don't have, you know, carpet to run on.
Yeah.
Which made it, you know, a huge difference.
Right. Yeah. Plus Yachty.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
they have no speed. You got Colton and you've got Grichuk. They've got decent speed. Mm-hmm. Other than
and
that.
Fam.
But is he going to play every day? I was thinking of like the everyday guys. I guess if Holiday's your first baseman.
Well, I mean, going in, he won't. It's not going to look like he's going to play every day. He's going to play a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're going to find a spot for him.
I saw yesterday he's not number 60 anymore, so you know he's going to make the club.
Yeah. He's gonna play against lefties just about every game. Just about every time they face a lefty, he'll be in the lineup. One way or another. So
I still say there's a very good chance that Piscotty winds up logging a lot of time at first base this year.
Yeah.
I think this is one spring training that there are probably three times as many decisions that need to be made this year than needed to be made in the past.
And what's interesting, it's all in the 25-man roster. I mean, we pretty much know what the 25-man roster is going to be, but it's where's everybody going to fit on the 25-man roster?
It's kind of a square peg, round hole thing. Yeah. Like, where do you put these guys, and when do you put these guys in?
Like, past couple of years, there's been who's going to be the 25th guy on the roster? Who's going to sneak onto the 25-man roster out of spring? This year, we pretty much know who's going to be in the major league level on opening day. It's just, you know, what's the role going to be?
The bench is going to be so much better this year.
It will.
Yeah.
No Pete Cosma, no John Jay. Those are good. I love John Jay.
See,
They've had no pop off the bench for a number of years.
The problem was John Jay was never on the bench.
No.
He was always in the lineup. See, he would have been the bench would have been a lot better if he was the fourth outfielder, but Matheny couldn't keep him out of the lineup.
It's true. But you're going to have this year on the bench either Adams or Moss. Mm-hmm. So you've got power from the left side there. They've got the Pena, their backup catcher, which doesn't matter because you never use the backup catcher
He won't be on the bench on opening day. He'll be the starting catcher.
Oh, no, Yachty will be starting.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
Yachty will let you know when he's ready to
play. He'll play no games during the spring and then be on the opening
day. You know for a fact, if he goes into Mike Matheny's office the last day of spring training and says, hey, Mike, I'm playing tomorrow. Okay, Yachty. Okay. Sounds good. Okay.
Can you sign my check here, please?
That's my biggest annoyance with Mike Matheny, is he just can't say no to his star players. That's his job.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that they're pushing, they even allow Molina to say he's going to be there for opening day. He had a second surgery on his thumb.
Yeah.
His last 2 years have ended prematurely with injuries. Why are they rushing him? If he's not there opening day, who cares? I'd much rather have him in October, in the last half of September. But the fact that they're just allowing him to set his own table, he's already catching.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know that was ever the problem, was catching. Even in the playoffs, that wasn't the problem.
No, but my point is, coming off of multiple surgeries, he shouldn't be doing that at all.
Yeah.
You know, like, they should have basically said, the first 2 weeks of spring training, don't even show, you know,
run.
You're doing nothing. You're doing nothing baseball-related.
Yeah.
But Yachty wants to play, so Yachty will play. Well, just like Wainwright, he wants to pitch all nine innings, so he'll pitch all nine innings.
After coming off, a 30-inning season?
Yeah. But the ability to tell a ball player, no.
Yeah.
Like, every year it's the same with Matheny. We're going to give Yachty more rest. 145 starts behind the plate later. Oh, that didn't work out
too
good.
And catching a night game and then the day game following that. You know, you're going,
all the extra innings, too.
He has given Yachty more rest because Yachty's been on the DL.
That's a fair point. He's gotten lots of rest.
Yeah, last two years he's gotten a lot of rest because he hurt himself.
And hopefully, like, the addition of Brian Pena, that's fantastic. If they actually use him.
Yeah. That's maybe the one big question mark about the who will be on the 25-man roster is if Yachty's not on the opening day roster, who's the backup catcher?
Probably Carson Kelly.
I like Carson Kelly a lot. I think he's the catcher of the future, but that would also be.
I don't think you have any other choice but put him on.
Yeah, because it would only be a short. Yeah.
Kelly or Michael Ullman, I think, because Ullman is a guy they acquired in a trade with the Orioles a couple of years ago, and he's probably closer to ready. Big catcher though, 6'5". But yeah, so like a Joe Mauer like catcher.
Wow, goodness gracious.
Yeah, that would be. I think he's closer to being ready than Carson Kelly, because Kelly's only like 21, 22 years old.
But if it's only going to be for a short period, give him a taste.
That's true.
The big leagues and send it back down. But Yachty will be there. Yeah. You know he will be.
I don't know that Kelly's even ever played double-A ball. I don't know how far he's gotten. I'd have to look it up. He hasn't been at Memphis yet. I don't know if he's ever been at Springfield. I'd have to look it up.
Hmm.
The Cardinals will go as far, though, as Yachty takes.
Yeah.
That's been proven the last number of years. If they don't have Yachty,
he's the face of the franchise. He's your franchise guy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Got to have him. So
Jordan Walden pitched yesterday and was healthy.
Hey.
He didn't get hurt. So that's an improvement to the bullpen.
And the law of averages would suggest that the Cardinals will have a pretty injury-free year just from all that they had last year.
But you got to remember, every major league team has injuries.
Right.
Every team does. Because baseball is such a weird sport when it comes to the mechanics of throwing, even just throwing a baseball. It's weird. It's, you know, kind of works against the body itself. So there's going to be injuries all the time in baseball. And it's such a long season, and you play day after day after day after day. It just, you know, you get worn out sometimes.
And, of course, for last year, the weird thing about the Cardinals was it was all their main players. Yeah. And they just kept winning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, most teams, every team has injuries. But most teams don't win 100 games when they have all those injuries.
That was probably, you know, the one exception to the rule.
Yes.
That's the one time it'll happen. Probably won't happen again, at least not in our lifetime.
But if their bullpen stays healthy, they have got some depth down there to where they shouldn't have to run Maness, Seagrass, and Rosenthal out there every single night like they had to the last couple of years. They've got other reliable veteran options.
They will. You know they will.
Yeah.
They always do. That's the unfortunate thing. Until Matheny actually proves that he can make some adjustments, he's going to run Yachty into the ground. He's going to run Peralta into the ground. And all the pitching staff is going to have nothing left by the end of the year. This has happened essentially every year he's been manager. This has happened. Got to change. Got to adjust.
Yeah.
And please stop managing April like it's the seventh game of the World Series. And please start managing the postseason like it's not April.
Yeah.
That's the humorous thing to be about Matheny is he will manage April like it's the seventh game of the World Series. Walden pitched in 13 of the first 15 games last year. He burns through them. And then he gets into the playoffs and he leaves Michael Walker out there.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, dude, this is backwards.
Yeah.
This is backwards.
Yeah, that was bad. I think that's what lost him the series last year.
And then the year before, you don't use Walker at all, and you put him in.
And you put him in
to lose the pennant. Yeah. Brilliant.
What kind of year are we going to get?
You know, if it was easy, everybody could do it.
No doubt about it. And you know, talking about the great, there's so many great things about baseball. Mm-hmm. To me, my favorite thing about baseball is complaining about the manager.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, I love to complain about the manager. It's fun.
And in baseball, there are so many different things that can happen on every single play. That the options are virtually unlimited.
Every decision affects the next one. Like you hear Matheny talk about all the time, he wants to win every game. And sometimes that gets you in trouble when you're trying to win that game and not thinking about the game the next day or the day after. And then all of a sudden everyone's tired.
Yeah.
It's like the Pete Rose thing. People will say, you know, when he was the manager of the Reds and was betting on him, well, he only ever bet on the Reds to win. Well, that's fine. But if he had money on the Reds on Monday, he's going to exhaust all possibilities to win that game, not caring about Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always
consequences. The problem.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need a break.
And hence, he'll never get into the Hall of Fame.
No.
Not while he's alive anyway.
Not while he's breathing.
Yeah.
He'll go in after he passes.
Yep.
I think.
And sadly, that's almost how it should be.
He does.
The player deserves to get in. The person does not deserve to get in.
Perfectly said.
Well, the player does, the manager doesn't.
Yeah.
Well,
there, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Pete Rose, the guy.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah.
Oof.
One of the worst analysts in the game right now, too.
Just get him to Vegas, baby. Yeah. Just get him to Vegas. Sign some more autographs. Sell that confessional for $19.95. We need a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. And we are back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Cardinal baseball coming up this morning against the Miami Marlins, 11:45 with the coverage on AM 1540 and 106.9.
Hey, do you like Steph Curry?
I love Steph Curry.
It's pretty good.
Apparently a bunch of old basketball players, not so much though. A lot of old guy hate coming Steph Curry in the Warriors' way, and I just don't get it. Like, everyone gets so threatened now by just the thought that maybe, just maybe, the 72-10 Chicago Bulls aren't the best team ever. It's just like this crazy thought. And I don't understand. Like, yes, I know, Oscar Robertson, you walk to school uphill in the snow both ways.
Robertson.
I get it. Oscar Robertson.
I thought you said Robinson.
Maybe I did. I meant Robertson. Okay. The big O.
Big O.
But he came out last week and basically said, back when I played, if a guy like Steph Curry came down and hit a 35-footer the next time, you get up in his face. You're not going to let him have that shot. That's what happens. They had a great gif of an Oklahoma City defender. I mean, right in Steph Curry's face. You could not have been on him any closer. Hand right in his face. He rises up from like 30 feet and drills it.
Yeah.
He's just good.
Yeah, he's the best shooter in the game right now.
But
and this might be a 1 or 2 year thing.
Could and be. So far, it's been a 2 year thing. Yeah. You know, he's been in the league 7 years. Yeah. Last year, he became awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And he's even better this year.
And he's a great role model for work ethic for Absolutely. Kids. Because the dude, I mean, he's constantly practicing his craft.
And this is what has become really annoying to me now in the last few months. They're trying to blame, everyone seems to be trying to blame Steph Curry for everyone shooting threes in high school basketball.
No,
this has been going on for a long time.
I think
Long
you have to
time.
Go back to the American Basketball Association, yes. The old ABA. That's where the three-point – that's the first time I ever saw a three-point line.
But I was watching the state tournament last week, and Steph Curry got mentioned 4 times in a 1A girls basketball game. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Anytime someone takes a three-pointer from a couple feet beyond the line, somehow it's Steph Curry's fault. Guess what? Steph Curry is a phenomenal, phenomenal shooter. As David said, maybe the best of all time. Very well might be. Good genetics. But what makes Steph Curry awesome is his ball handling and his passing combined with his shooting. Jimmer Fredette can knock down 40-footers all day long, but he can't get open.
Yeah.
He can't get open. Lots of NBA players can make three-pointers that are very, very deep. But Steph Curry's ability to handle the ball, shake and bake like he does, blow past defenders, make the passes, and then also, oh, by the way, drill 35-footers. The combination of everything is what makes him great. So just to, I don't know, to blame Steph Curry, to just make him out to just be this shooter and that's all he is. He's so much more than that.
Well, and with the addition of the three-point line in high school basketball, the train of thought is generally, if you can make a third of your shots from the three-point line, that's pretty good shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's an acceptable risk to take. And the three-point line, as we have mentioned many times, has drastically changed the game of basketball.
There's good threes and there's bad threes.
Yeah,
and we see a lot of bad threes at the high school level because there's no ball movement.
Sure.
You just swing it around the perimeter, first guy open, takes a shot. You dump the ball inside and then kick it out. That three-pointer's a lot higher percentage, and you watch the Warriors play.
Oh, sure.
The ball movement that they have is superb.
You watch from the Sweet 16 on in the NCAA tournament, and you'll see. You know, you won't have any Steph Currys, but you'll see great ball movement and the ball going inside to the post player, and then the three-point guy being wide open, having his feet set, and getting that great shot.
I've just been amazed how many people are hating on the Warriors. Because they're going to break the Bulls' record. Like, people are
actually because they're getting so close.
Oh,
yeah.
People get offended if you suggest that Michael Jordan's not the greatest of all time. And if you suggest that maybe, like the Bulls, the 96 Bulls, theirs were 72-10.
Mm-hmm.
They were awesome. I remember watching those teams. They were great. Would they? Can you say without a doubt that they would have beat the best Lakers team of the 80s or the best Celtics teams of the 80s? I don't know.
And that's the great thing about sports because it's so subjective and everybody can have their opinions. And the great thing about it is there's no way to prove it.
No way to prove it. Because that's what they say now. Oh, the game was so much more physical in the 90s when Jordan did it. Basically saying that Steph Curry's too small and weak to play back then.
It was a lot less physical than the 80s.
very true, but it's always changing. There's eras. But to suggest that this group of Warriors players could not compete with great teams of the past is ridiculous. Good luck. Yeah. If you're the Bulls, good luck matching up with them.
Exactly. That's the biggest thing is I don't know that they really had a defender who could guard Curry and Klay Thompson.
I mean, Jordan and Pippen, they were great lockdown defenders. Okay, so they're guarding Thompson and Steph. Well, guess what? Who's guarding Harrison Barnes?
Who's guarding Draymond Green?
Who's guarding Andre Iguodala? I mean, they are just a matchup nightmare.
Yeah.
I love watching. They're just so much fun to watch. To me, they're the antithesis of what the NBA had become, one-on-one Charles Barkley-style basketball where he gets the ball and dribbles his way down into the
post.
Or
they clear everybody out and then one-on-one down the lane.
I mean, they just they're so crisp when they move the ball and the cuts and just the unselfish play. Phenomenal to watch, but the fact that so many people just can't sit back and enjoy the greatness, it.
Well, and yet everybody's trying to imitate it.
Yeah. Can't do that.
It's tough to do.
Very tough to do.
Yeah, but that they would love to be able to do so.
Yeah.
But that game.
Put the work in. I mean, because that's what Curry's done. Oh. Put the work in.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. Steph Curry almost gets shortchanged because everyone just thinks about his great shooting.
Well,
he's worked for every single bit that he's got.
And don't you think the negative feedback concerning the threat to the Bulls' record is more prevalent here in the Midwest because of the Chicago Bulls?
Could be.
Probably, but I've heard a lot of...
That's what I kind of think.
I think so. I've heard a lot of national old NBA players, though, hating on the Warriors because they're not the 96 Bulls. I've heard a lot of that. Michael Jordan... People don't like the thought of Michael Jordan not being the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Hmm. Yeah.
Michael Jordan was awesome.
He was.
Yeah.
And he played with a lot of the best players in NBA history.
What a great era of NBA basketball.
Phenomenal.
Because he played alongside Bird and Magic on the Dream Team and Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon and John Stockton, Karl Malone. List goes on.
I think the Warriors are 55-5.
It's pretty good.
Ridiculous.
It's not bad.
Coming off, they're the defending champions too, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, after they won over 60 games last year.
What was that? What the Bulls were? Were they coming out the first year that Jordan returned?
Becoming the Patriots of the NBA?
No.
Where everybody hates him?
I hope not.
I hope not because
they haven't got caught cheating yet.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the key.
They haven't got caught cheating, right? Their run hasn't been 15 years either.
That's true. Yeah. Patriots have done it for a long time.
Yeah,
long
time. 0-1 since 0-1. The Warriors, they're a long way away from being that.
They are, but it sure seems like they're going to win over 70 games. I mean, they still got to finish very strong to get there, but I mean, they've still got several games left with the Spurs.
Well, and here's a suggestion to the rest of the league. Get better.
Get better.
Yeah.
Draft better. Get better players, okay?
And that,
get smarter coaches that can come up with a defense to play against. Yeah,
and they've basically drafted this entire team, which makes it even more impressive. What a job well done.
Could it also be the East Coast bias thing in effect? Because obviously the Bulls weren't East Coast, but they played in the Eastern Conference, and now Eastern Conference is a joke. The Cavs were the only team.
There might be something to that, Dave. Yeah. I mean, we see it a lot. Or I think we perceive it here in the Midwest a lot. The East Coast bias on a lot of different fronts, sports, and a lot of other things too. Yeah. So
it's a real thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there's the Cavaliers.
If the New York Knicks were doing this, they'd be the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Exactly.
Exactly. You take the exact same team and put a New York uniform on them, and they'd be crushing this 96 Bulls. It wouldn't even be close.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, and they'd be a countdown. On top of the buildings in New York, counting down how many more games until they break the Bulls' record.
I mean, same thing was said for the Mets last year because their rotation. Because they're five deep and they've got such a good rotation. Because they're the Mets and they play in New York, they're arguably one of the greatest rotations of all time. All right, hold on. They're all in their 20s and none of them have yet to play a full season.
I guess that's the society and just kind of the instant gratification of our culture now. But why does everything have to be the greatest of all time? Like, Steph Curry's not the greatest basketball player of all time. He might be the best player in the league now.
Might be the best shooter.
Yeah. But just 2 years ago, LeBron James was the best player in the history of the game. And now all of a sudden, Steph Curry's the best shooter in the history of the game. Why can't they just be the best now?
Yeah.
The best now.
Yeah, wait to put those labels until after their careers are over.
Exactly.
Because humans tend to put things in order. They like mm-hmm. numbers.
Yeah.
Like somebody's got to be number one, and then somebody's got to be number two. And let's face it, they run tournaments. You know, you have playoffs, and you'll try to determine a number one, a champion. And that's just kind of the mentality, especially for the world of sports.
Yeah. Another thing I don't get with the Jordan thing is, obviously, it's sacrilege to say he's not the greatest player of all time, but he was not a very well-liked guy. Let me rephrase that. He's not as great a guy as everyone makes him out to be. He's a terrible person.
He punched teammates.
Yeah. Had a gambling problem. Just a real jerk of a guy.
He was good, though.
He was good. I don't understand why people don't think there could be another player who is better. People also forget that Bill Russell won 9 championships as a player.
Well, yeah, they like the championship discussion is always what kind of puts Jordan at the top for a lot of people until you bring up Bill Russell. And if we're just going off rings, you're exactly right. Yeah.
Excuse me, the NBA Finals MVP trophy is named after Bill Russell.
Right. In my own personal opinion, Michael Jordan's the best basketball player I personally have ever seen. You know, I didn't see all the old school guys, so I can't say he's the greatest of all time. But for the basketball players that I have personally witnessed, he's the best I've ever seen. I mean, he was clutch. When he had the ball late, you knew it was going in.
I didn't know. Really,
and I didn't pay that much attention to the NBA, so I'm really not. I always thought that Magic Johnson had a great career, only because Magic could do so many different things.
He could play all 5 positions.
And
on
did
the floor.
Play five of all all 5 positions in the playoffs.
6'9" point guard. That's unheard of now. Yeah. I mean,
LeBron.
Well, yeah. But I think wasn't Magic primarily a point guard?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, he played all 5. Yeah. Point guard. Yeah. LeBron. I mean, he's not a primary point guard.
And then I like to bring up Dr. J.
Yeah.
Because Dr. J was something else.
Oh, there's been so many great basketball players over the years. I tell you what's fun, though, to get under Jordan lovers is to say that LeBron's better. Oh, that gets them mad. Oh, it gets them mad.
And what, you know, the honest truth is physically he is.
He's 6'9", 260, and runs like a deer. Like, and I'm talking just in the game of one-on-one. I think LeBron whips him. Both in their prime. And it sounds crazy to say, but I think he would manhandle him.
I don't think Jordan could cover him. I really don't. It'd be a tough task. It'd be fun to see.
That'd be real fun to see.
But you're never going to see.
I know you're never going to see.
Never going to happen.
It ain't never going to happen.
That'd be the ultimate one-on-one game
there. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Both in their prime. You could sell tickets to that bad boy. A lot of tickets and pay-per-view.
You want a primetime special on TV. There you go.
There you go.
Right there.
That would work. That would work.
Ratings would be through the ceiling.
You also have to be a likable guy, I guess, to get the respect, too, because everyone talks about, even though LeBron has won 2 rings, they talk about, you know, he's not worthy of being one of the greatest. And everybody loves Kevin Durant. Never won a title. Only been there once.
Got beat by LeBron. Perception. Yeah. Public perception. It is what it is.
Oh, well.
Cardinal baseball today. They are playing the Miami Marlins. The first of at least 10 spring trainings for Don Mattingly as the Marlins manager, right? Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not.
Barry Bonds, the hitting coach.
That's right. Oh, by the way, God knows he's a Hall of Famer.
Huh?
God knows he's a Hall of Famer.
Who?
Barry Bonds.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said. Okay. God knows. Well, Barry, God knows a lot of things.
I hate
to tell you, he knows a lot of things.
But you're not in the Hall of Fame.
But God knows. We are out of time here on Sports Saturday. For Tito and David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville.